smile like you've got nothing to prove. No matter what you might do, there's always someone out there cooler than you.
It's true.
I know that's hard to believe, but
welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian.
I'm Luke
over there. I'm Brian.
I'm Luke.
As far as you know.
As far as we know.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome back to the show. I really appreciate Sean Fetaplace joining us of Wisconsin Main Street Alliance. Took a moment on his drive home back from the Driftless region, stopping on the road so he could join us via the phone. If you want to learn more about the great work that the Main Street Alliance is doing, go check out mainstreetalliance.org. Really important work for the small businesses here in the state of Wisconsin and around the country. It's a national organization.
That dude's doing a really good thing.
Yes.
That you should check it out at least. Figure it out and see how you can support that.
I'll give him a personal blog. He's a couple of followers away on Twitter from hitting one of those big round numbers. So go follow Sean Fetaplace on Twitter, and let's get him over that threshold as well.
The guy's getting himself down and dirty in the trenches here, and he's doing a great job, and good for you. Because I used to lament on my solo show a couple of years ago that under Walker, we were one of the worst states for entrepreneurial growth.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst, like worse than Mississippi burning Mississippi. Worst entrepreneurial growth. That's not good. And, you know, what did he do? He went and invested all in one company because that's how you grow a small business, apparently. So
just imagine if we had the Foxconn funding for actual small business.
Even half of that.
Just
half of that. If half of them even made it, half of them burnt out and half of them made it, you're already won. You're already, at least compared to what we have right now. Either way, let's go to a patient, wonderful and patient man. Mark from the SAC has been holding for a while. Sorry, we had a guest. How you doing, Mark?
Doing great. The whole PFAS thing that ticks me off there. Pollute the water, then it's going to cost so much more later. But people ask about, our friends on the right, that complain about the inflation right now. Well, let's look at construction materials. Why are construction materials inflated in price right now? Well, part of it is because of the disaster that happened down in Texas because of them ignoring their grid down there. So more materials have to go down to Texas and fix things down there. So it decreases supply, so it increases cost for the rest of us. I mean, that's just one small part of the whole thing. When you disrupt the supply chain, as the pandemic did, that it is going to cause inflation. It's got nothing to do with Joe Biden, bite me, CJ of Stoughton or Madison or whichever place you claim to be from at the moment. But I mean,
it's not even his real name.
Inflation.
I got to tell you, I claim to be from a lot of places, so I can't fault him on that one.
It's just, that inflation happens, and it's got nothing to do with the president who's ever sitting in the Oval Office right now.
Look, how much effort and how much pressure does anyone want Biden to really put on there? And I don't think anyone's really thinking about what you're actually asking when you're telling the executive branch to put their hands in the wheel of the economy. Sure, you may want to get something done or do something different to go and make things happen. And I'm not saying that there aren't ways around it or ways to go and kind of steer, but think about what you're asking. And think about that you keep calling us communists, because that's really funny that you want the executive branch to take the wheel.
You want one strong man. You want one strong man to be able to fix all the problems
really fast and really efficiently.
Really fast.
But then you want to call it maybe democracy or even representative democracy.
Yeah,
it's
weird.
But speaking of the executive branch and power, our buddies at Up North News, our buddy Pat Kreitlow, you can hear him at 5:30 and 7:30. He does an Up North News Minute every single day, every single weekday here. But he also
you can also hear him on Wednesday nights with the Up North podcast. He and Kirk Bangstad partnered together to do that Wednesday here on Devil Radio and The Shaw at 7 p.m. And you can listen to all those podcasts at the Devil Radio website. We got a whole podcast library there. But yeah, Brian, this is a really interesting piece from Pat Kreitlow over at upnorthnews.com.
Yeah. Basically, how would life change in Wisconsin next year if Evers isn't playing the role of goalie to Republicans' legislative slapshots? And this is because he vetoed 40 bills last week, bringing his total for 98. That's the most ever for a Wisconsin governor, and the guy's not even done yet with his first term.
Nope. But to be fair, there's not going to be any more legislation because already wrapped up the legislative sessions for the year.
They work hard.
So no more. Well, I believe there's a few outstanding vetoes that could still be done. But it seems like, yes, he's going to have a new record set for vetoes here in the state of Wisconsin. And wasn't there like a Republican saying, hey, why don't you focus more on the bipartisan efforts? It seems like there's a lot of partisan ploys that they tried to throw out there that necessarily won't be signed into law because we do have Evers playing goalie to some of these terrible, terrible policies.
We only have a couple minutes left, so let's hit some of these bullet points as to how your life would be different in Wisconsin without some of those 98 vetoes. First one, your coworkers would be less likely to be immunized against COVID-19. Your local schools would face a higher risk of becoming a hub of community transmission under a state law that would have banned school districts from requiring face masks on students.
This is a pretty big one. You would have less confidence that someone near you in public has been properly trained for the loaded gun they are carrying when concealed. Ooh. The labor market has come back to life, but you'd be less likely to have a safety net during a future job because the state would give you your former boss more reason to claim you shouldn't get unemployment benefits. Life in this hypothetical Wisconsin would include fewer courses on ethnic studies and diversity because the law would allow students at the University of Wisconsin to substitute a course on the U.S. Constitution's Bill of Rights as an adequate replacement.
Awesome. More police would be able to storm into homes without any warning under a law protecting no-knock search warrants. Also, while the legislature refused to spend a surplus of taxpayer dollars, it would have had a say in spending federal coronavirus relief funds or likely blocked Evers from spending
the money. So no spending, just like Fred Prenn still, you know, overstaying his welcome on the Natural Resources Board because anything that Evers wants to do, the Republican legislature would refuse to confirm.
Life would be much different across Wisconsin on every election day. Nursing home residents would be less likely to receive assistance during obtaining, filling out, and returning absentee ballots because staff would fear being charged with a crime for helping the elderly and disabled to vote.
Local election clerks, similarly chilled by language threatening punishment for assisting voters, would likely face a shortage of volunteer poll workers and more outdated equipment because private pro-democracy groups could not provide help to make up for Republican budget cuts at local levy local levy limits.
The election results themselves would have less public confidence, and not merely from whichever side lost the race. The WEC would be weakened considerably by a legislature that could overrule or delay WEC guidance, and more voters would show up to cast a ballot only to discover they had been removed from voter rolls because checks and balances to prevent mistaken deletions would have been removed.
Yep.
And these are just some of the things that, you know, and when they say, because my state rep, Jesse Rodriguez, wants to go and say things like, oh, this is proof that Governor Evers doesn't want to work with anyone. No, this is proof that you put up a bunch of crazy bills and thank God Governor Evers was there because you just wanted to throw a bunch of stuff to see what would stick. And none of these really had a hope of ever getting through. You knew that. And you didn't bother to work with anybody or even, why don't they ever try and come on our side of the aisle, ever?
Yeah. Why is it always that we are the ones that have to extend the olive branch? I appreciate the fact that Governor Evers went and vetoed these crazy proposals. If you want to see the entire in-depth analysis and list, go check out Pat Krylow's piece at upnorthnews.com. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Otherwise, we got the Devil's Advocates coming up next, and we will see you tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Heck yeah.